Hey, God bless you and welcome to this episode of Your Limitless Lives. This is Pastor James Moffitt, Senior Pastor of Church Unlimited here in Indio, California, and we're so glad that you've joined us tonight. If you would, you can let us know that you're watching and where you're watching from. We'd really appreciate that. And also, if you have a prayer request and you would honor us by letting us know so that we can come into agreement and pray with you concerning that, we know what God's Word says about that. Jesus said, if two or three gather on earth concerning anything, and we would pray about that, that it would be done of our Father which is in heaven. And so we would love to pray with you about that, any prayer request that you might have as well. Or just in case you weren't aware and you're watching us for the first time, we are a real-time broadcast, so that if you have any questions or you comment real-time, we can see you, whether or not you're watching on Facebook or YouTube. And if you haven't done it already, if you can please like and subscribe, that would really help us out as well. Like I said, we're so glad that you're joining us tonight, and I want to talk to us about a subject about the subject of sun stand still. And in Joshua chapter 10, I don't know if you're aware of the story or not, but in Joshua chapter 10 and verse 14, the Bible says that God gave the Amorites into the hand of the Israelites. And as Joshua was fighting them, Joshua actually prayed to the Lord and asked for the sun to stand still. And I don't know, maybe somebody's watching this tonight and you would say, I feel like my time is running out, or I feel like I've lost something. Maybe you feel like you've wasted some time or you know, doing other things, and now you've got back into the will and purpose of God. If that's you, you've tuned in to the right broadcast tonight, and I'm going to talk about that. You know, God said, he said that he would restore unto you everything that the palmer worm and the canker worm tried to steal from you. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief has come to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, but I am come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. So if you're watching tonight and you feel like your daylight is running out, you've tuned into the right broadcast. If you are watching and you feel like you're going through a rough time, I pray that you keep on watching. If you're not in relationship with God, the Bible says today is the day of your salvation. And if you need a healing in your body, or you know somebody that needs a healing in their body, we're going to help you tonight in that as well. I'd like to pray, and then we're going to get into our broadcast tonight. Father, we thank you that you are good. And we thank you that according to Isaiah 55:11, your word never comes back void, but it accomplishes all that you sent it out to do, and it prospers in everything that you sent it to do. And God, I thank you for those that are watching, those that are even now tuning in and are listening. And God, I thank you, Lord, that they are blessed on this double blessing Tuesday. And God, that we are all going to be blessed. And we thank you, Lord, and our hearts are wide open to receive your word, and it will produce 30, 60, and 100 fold. In Jesus' name, amen. And out of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah 55 and verse 6, the Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found, and call on him while he is near. Isaiah 55, 6, seek the Lord while he may be found, and call on him while he is near. You know, whether we're saved or unsaved, all of us should be seeking after God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you are watching this broadcast and you are not in right relationship with God, I'm not asking if you're a part of a religion. I'm asking if you have an intimate relationship with God, that he knows you and you know him, and that you are walking with him on a daily basis. And if that's not you tonight, we would sure be honored to pray with you. And you would know that tonight, if you ask Jesus in your heart, that he would come in your heart and be your Lord and your Savior. And if we know Jesus, but we're going through something, we still need to call upon the Lord. We need to call him if we want to see him in our lives and we want him to be involved in our circumstances. Saved or unsaved, we can have a tendency sometimes to think that God, you're sovereign, and God, God bless you, Sister Connie. God bless you, Sister Jenny. We're so glad that you're watching with us. And if you're just getting on, if you can just let us know that you're on and where you're watching from, we'd so appreciate that. And we say God bless you for it. But we can have a tendency, all of us, saved or unsaved. And I think sometimes we have a tendency to sort of sit back and think like this. Well, God, you're all sovereign and God knows. And obviously God loves us and he cares about us. And if he is a God that we, like the God that we think he is, surely he's going to get involved in my situation. Surely he's going to get involved in my circumstance and what I'm going through. But if we want God to be involved, we have to make room for God to be involved. And the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 4, the Bible says there was a rich woman who noticed that there the prophet of God continually went by, and she used to invite him. The Bible says daily, as often as he would accept her invitation to come in and to eat in their house. But she wanted to not just have him temporarily come by, but she was trying to think of a way that she could have him stay and permanently spend more time with him. And so I want to read from 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 9. 2 Kings chapter 4. Hallelujah. And verse 9. Thank you, Lord. And the Bible says, she said to her husband, "I'm sure this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. Let's build a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by." And so in the King James Version, it says, "And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God," listen to this, "which passes by continually." This woman saw that this man of God was passing by continually. He was often passing by. And she was trying to figure out a way, how can we get him to stay longer with us? She saw the miracles, knew the miracles that Elisha had performed all around them. It was well known by everybody. Elisha, in case you didn't know, on this Double Blessing Tuesday, and the reason why we call this a Double Blessing Tuesday is because when I went to Israel, I just got back from Israel, and thank God for the opportunity to be able to go. But when I was there, I found out this, that on, and I read this, maybe you read it, and maybe this will be a surprise to you, but I read, the Bible says on the days of creation, on the third day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, on the third day is the only day when God said it is good twice. And to the Israelite, a lot of Israelites, or a lot of Hebrews, or a lot of Jewish people, they get married on Tuesday because they believe this, that Tuesday or the third day is a double blessing Tuesday. If you'll remember Jesus's first miracle at the wedding of Cana, if you'll read, I think it's in the King James Version, it says on the third day. That wedding was happening on a Tuesday because even then they knew that Tuesday was a double blessing Tuesday. So Elisha in this story in 2 Kings chapter 4 is the one who prayed for a double blessing. He saw the blessing that was on Elijah's life and he said, "I want a double blessing." And that's why we call Tuesday Double Blessing Tuesday. So we thought we'd just share that with you on this Your Limitless Life broadcast. But she was trying to find out a way to try to, how can I house this blessing? How can I get this around in my house and around my husband and around my children? And she said, "I see him continually passing by." But the Bible said that she said to her husband, she was a wealthy woman, she said, "Let's build on a house so that maybe he would come and he would stay longer than he's been staying." She had to do something in order to get him to come in and to stop and to stay with them. And the Bible says when she added that, put in that room, put that bed in, the table, the lamp, and the chair, that the man of God turned and went in there and rested there. But can I ask you a question tonight? Saved or unsaved? Is there room in your life for Jesus? Is there room in your life for Jesus? All of our lives was talking to somebody about this today, that in this time that we are living in, all of us are very busy and going really fast all over the place. Amen, Sister Hazel. God bless you. Double blessings. Amen. And so all of us are very busy in our lives. We're running, you know, even though we have more technology than we've ever had, it seems like we're busier now than we've ever been. And it's so, it's easy for all of us, even in doing good things, to not have room for God or the things of God. And not have and be too busy that there might not be any room for Jesus. And so we got done celebrating Christmas in the month of December. And I want you to think about this. The whole world was waiting. God bless you, Sister Evelyn. So good to have you watching with us as well. And so the whole world was waiting for the Messiah. Think about this. The whole world was waiting for the Messiah to come. But when he came, it was so crowded and everybody was so busy that the Bible said there was no room for Jesus to come in and to be born. And so if there was ever a time, which is a good time because it is January, where a lot of us, we can make changes whenever, but a lot of us, have New Year's resolutions and have made declarations and we're starting, afresh in this new year. A lot of us are decluttering. A lot of us are slowing down. What a better time to take an inventory, and what a better time to make sure that we have room. Obviously, we don't just need to make room and add him into our life. Jesus Christ should be the center and our all in all. In him we live, move, and have our being. But if ever there was a time to make sure that there was room for Jesus in our life, it's today. Jesus, all through the New Testament, you could read that Jesus, the Bible says Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Jesus would wake up early in the morning and pray, and then the disciples, would come to Jesus, and Jesus would say, I got to go here. My Father's saying we need to go there. Jesus was on the move. It, as a matter of fact, in creation, when God was on the move all the way in from the beginning, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord was moving over the face of the earth. God is always on the move. But there were only, and Jesus, like I was saying in the New Testament, was going from one place to the next place to the next place. And when I say this, I know it's gonna, you're gonna agree with me, and you're gonna realize this. Jesus went to a lot of areas from here to there, but there wasn't a lot of people that caused him to stop and stand still. And that's what I want to talk to us about tonight. Son, stand still. Luke 19. Let's look at Luke 19. And we're going to read in verse 1. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 19. And we're going to begin reading in verse 1. If you can, would follow along with us if you could. God bless you, Sister Kathy. So good to see you. Thank you for watching. The Bible says, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. And there was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but when he was too short to see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road. For Jesus, listen to this, Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. And Jesus said the Bible was passing by Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus was trying to see Jesus, but because of the crowdedness that was around Zacchaeus, the Bible says because of his short stature, Zacchaeus was too short to see Jesus. I've talked about this, I believe, even on this broadcast. I know I've preached about this recently, but the Bible said, listen, concerning us, the Bible says all of us have sinned. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible said Zacchaeus did something that seemed very strange. He was short in stature, could not see Jesus, And so he knew that the Bible says Jesus was going to be passing by that way. And so in order to see Jesus, he climbed a tree. Zacchaeus knew that by himself, he was too short to see God. But he would be able to see God because of that tree. All of us were the same way. All of us were coming up short, and none of us could see God. But because of the tree, we were able to see him. And I want you to understand that today. He's talking about the cross of Calvary. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And the Bible said that Zacchaeus, who wanted to see the Lord on his own, was too short to see God. But because he climbed the tree, he was able to see the Lord. And then not only was Zacchaeus able to see the Lord, but the Lord saw him. And I don't know if you know this or not, but the Bible said, if you remember when Jesus was on the tree, when he died on the cross of Calvary, that he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. But as he was lifted up on that tree, that literally he cried out, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God, the Father, turned away from the Lord. He couldn't look at God because of sin. Before the tree, or before the cross of Calvary, we were too short to reach God, and God could not see us, the Father. But because of what Jesus did on that tree for us, now because we climbed up on that tree, hallelujah, now we are able to see God, and God is now able to see us. And if you're not saved tonight, if you'll get on that tree, and run to that tree called Calvary, the Lord who knows your name, just like with Zacchaeus here in the 19th chapter that we're talking about, that we just read from. Not only does God know your name, he walked up and he saw Zacchaeus and he knew him by name. He said, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I must now go to your house. And in salvation, that day was brought to Zacchaeus's house because Zacchaeus knew, listen to this, knew Jesus was coming by that way. And Zacchaeus didn't say, well, God knows if I'm saved, that he, you know, obviously it's God's will that everybody's saved. Zacchaeus knew, and salvation is free. Don't get me wrong. But we have to call upon the Lord, and we have to receive the work of Calvary so that that work can be applied to our life, that Jesus would forgive our sin. He nailed our sin to the cross of Calvary. And because of that, we are lifted up higher, and God can see us, and we can see the Lord as well. And the relationship with God that God intended from the very beginning is now restored because of the cross of Calvary. Because of that tree, we are lifted up higher. Hallelujah. And God can come and do a mighty work in our life. He knows you by name. And the Bible says, they that call upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13, shall be saved. And if you will call upon that name, if you will trust in the tree, if you will run to that tree, because you know right now, the Bible says, where two or three are gathered together. If it was just you and me, hallelujah, and you were just saying, so I'm just watching right now, and for some reason you said, I'm just going to tune into this broadcast. If you are not in relationship with God and you don't know him, today the Bible says is the day of your salvation. And if you'll run to that tree knowing that Jesus is passing by, where two or three are gathered together, he said, here I am in the midst. But it doesn't matter if he's just in the midst. Just because he's passing by doesn't mean that you're saved. You have to call upon his name. You have to run to that tree. You have to trust in the cross and the blood of Jesus that was shed for you. And when you do that, he that knows you by name, he'll tell you, you don't have to go on that tree. I hung on that tree for you. Come down and I'm going to your house. Just like that woman made room, hallelujah, for the man of God, the typology of Jesus to come into her house so that her house would be blessed, so that her husband would be blessed. And whether or not you realize it or not, the deepest, innermost thoughts that she didn't even realize God knew. God knew what she really wanted, and she even received her innermost desire, which is to have a child, and which was to have a son. And God gave her that because she made room in her house for the Lord to come in, not just to pass by. Hallelujah. not just to pass by continually, but to stop, to stay. You have God. Jesus would have just kept passing by Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus not only wanted to see God, but God, he wanted God to see him. Zacchaeus knew. The Bible says that when you read the story, he was one of the chiefest of sinners. Everybody around knew about Zacchaeus in his life. And no one, even his own people, didn't like him. But that day, because he made the effort, not just to be around Jesus, there was a whole bunch of people that were around Jesus that day, but Zacchaeus said, I'm going to run down and I'm going to get in the way because I want to see him for myself. All of us were too short to reach God, but because of that tree, like Zacchaeus climbed upon, we are now able to see him, and he was seeing us. And if you'll receive him into your heart today, he'll not only change the trajectory of your life, he'll change the trajectory of your family's life, and pronounce a blessing, and just like he did on Zacchaeus's life, and say, today, the blessing of Abraham. This is a son of Abraham, and his family is saved and blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you would, and because just like God saw Zacchaeus, I want you to if you would, and if you're watching, everybody that's watching, I see those that are watching us right now, if you can type, God sees me, I would be so appreciative. Just write in the comment section, God sees me. God does see you. He sees you right where you are. He sees you in the middle of what you're going through. And he is passing by your way and my way tonight. And if you do that, right where you are, if you'll call on him as he passes by, God will stand still on your behalf. I believe that. Thank you, baby, for writing that. Thank you, Jenny. God sees me. Amen. He sees you. He sees, you know, that's what Hagar said. Hagar was out in the middle, and this is the Old Testament. But God bless you, Sister Spalton, Sister Hazel, God bless you for typing that in. He does. He sees you right where you're at, right in the middle of your circumstance, right what you're going through. Amen, Sister Evelyn. Everything that you are facing, you're not by yourself. God is with you. Hagar was with her child, and she went out to the desert, thought she was all alone, cast out. And the Bible said that God saw her, and she knew that day and made the declaration. And God came and moved, pronounced a blessing on her life, saved the life of her and her son, showed her an oasis of water in the middle of a dry place. Hallelujah. And she said that day, God is the God who sees me, when she thought she was all alone and no one saw her. And the same God that saw Hagar, the same God that saw Zacchaeus, is the same God that sees you and is the same God that sees me tonight. But as he passes by, we got to pull on him, and we got to let him know that we don't want him just to pass by regularly. We know he's passing by. We know he's everywhere. We know he's omnipresent. But I don't want him to just pass by me. I want him to be in me, and I want him to stay with me. Amen. And so I'm going to read from Mark chapter 6 and verse 45. Mark chapter 6 and verse 45. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 6 and verse 45. Praise the Lord. It says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake to Bethsaida while he sent the people home. After telling everyone goodbye, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Late that night, the disciples were in the boat in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on land. He saw that they were in serious trouble. Jesus saw that the disciples were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them. Listen to this. Jesus came toward them walking on the water. He intended to go past them. But when they saw him walking on the water, they cried out in terror, thinking he was a ghost. They were all terrified when they saw him. But Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage. I am here. Then he climbed on the boat, and the wind stopped, and they were totally amazed. The Bible said, this is an amazing story that I don't know that we pick up on it all the time that we read it. I have a tendency sometimes when I read the Word of God to sort of glance over things. But it's good to, obviously, we ask the Holy Spirit to help us and to slow down and make sure that we're reading and reading through what the Word of God says so that we don't miss things like this. The Bible said that Jesus sent his disciples across in a boat, across the sea to go to Bethsaida as he said goodbye to all the people that were on the land. The Bible says that Jesus went up on a mountain to begin to pray by himself. And the Bible says that Jesus looked out from where he was. This is supernatural. Looked out from where he was, and he saw that his disciples were in serious trouble and that they were struggling in the storm that was trying to come against them. Now, I want you to notice this. These are the same disciples that Jesus called. These are the same disciples that followed Jesus. These are the same disciples that Jesus gave a word to go to the other side. But look at what the Bible said here. He said Jesus saw that they were in trouble, that the winds and the waves were contrary to them, contrary to the word that God had gave, that the Lord had gave them, and that they were in serious trouble. The Bible says that at 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came walking by, and not walking towards them. The Bible says he was walking and was going to walk past them, but they cried out to the Lord. Psalm 34:17 said, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them and delivers them from all of their trouble." The Bible said that Jesus was going to pass them by. Think about that. The disciples were in trouble, serious trouble. Jesus saw that they were in serious trouble, and Jesus saw that the winds were contrary, that the waves were getting in the boat, that his disciples were in need, but the Bible says he was going to pass them by. But this is why I love that scripture in the book of Psalms. They cry until they cried unto the Lord, and then the Lord stopped. The sun stood still. Hallelujah. See, it's not the fact. I hope you're understanding what I'm trying to say today. The Lord is always with us. The Lord is always passing by. He's always near to us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But he's not just going to just jump in and just get in the middle of our situation and our circumstance. Like we would think often, well, the Lord sees me. The Lord knows I'm going through trouble. So the Lord is going to help me. But look at this example that I'm talking about here tonight in this scripture in the book of Mark chapter 6. The Bible said that Jesus saw they were in serious trouble, that he saw them where he was and where they were, that the winds were coming up against the word that he had spoke up against their life. Jesus gave them a word to go to the other side. They were his hand chosen disciples. If anybody was going to care about them, Jesus would care about them. But the Bible said he was going to walk past them, but they cried unto the Lord. And when they cried, the sun stopped and the sun stood still. And then the Lord gave them a word and said, "I am the Lord." He said, "Be of good courage." He said, "I am." If you actually study this out in the Greek, he literally says, "Be of good cheer. I am." In other words, he's telling you that I am God. And because you cried out to me, I'm the God that not only has heard your cry, but now I'm going to move and intercede in the middle of what you're going through. I know you're going through a tough time, but you got to call on me in order for me to be able to intercede on your situation. When the righteous cry, the Lord is your ever-present help in the time of need. And they called out to the Lord. They cried out to the Lord. And the Lord heard him, and the Son of God stood still, and he gave them a word. He said, "Be of good cheer, I am." And the Bible said he turned towards the boat, he walked to the boat, and then he got in the boat, and as soon as he did, the winds ceased. That word "ceased" there literally means the winds were no more. Everything that was coming against them immediately stopped. And if you're going through something today, and the winds are going against whatever the word of
God said for your life. God may have told you to go to the other side. And now, just because God gave us a word doesn't mean the enemy's not going to try to come up against what God has called you to do. And the winds that he may cause to come, the storm doesn't come by God. It's sent there to try to get us discouraged. It's sent there to try to get us to murmur and complain. And the Lord is always, just like the woman, the rich woman in the book of 2 Kings that we said, she saw that the man of God was continually passing by. Zacchaeus knew that Jesus was passing by, but just like that woman made that room for Jesus, for that man of God, the typology of God, to come in and live there and to stop there, to turn aside and to stop in and rest there, and she got her blessing. Just like Zacchaeus knew that Jesus was passing by, Zacchaeus would have stayed in his sin unless he did something to get for God to see him and for him to be able to see God in his situation. And the disciples had to cry out to God as he was passing by. And when they did, the Lord got in their boat, in their situation, in the middle of their circumstance. And then God, as soon as he did, the wave ceased. And when, if you'll call, amen, Sister Mariana, amen, Sister Jenny, amen, Sister Connie, and we're going to pray for Lori, that was admitted into the hospital in intensive care. And we're going to do just like the disciples did. And if we will call on God and he will come in, and whatever is going on, think about that. What Jesus did for us, whenever Jesus intercedes on our behalf, when Jesus gets in the middle of our situation, whatever was going on is immediately going to cease. But we have to cry out to the Lord. And if we do, the sun will stand still for us. And he will move on our behalf. Whether or not God, it doesn't matter what you're going through. If you're having whatever that storm is, whatever that circumstance is, whatever that situation is, whatever that contrary wind or storm is, God will move. And when God gets involved, he'll get in your boat, and whatever that thing was will cease in Jesus' mighty name. So I want you to notice that it's not what we need that makes Jesus stop. It's when we call on him and trust that he is our ever-present help in the time of need. And again, like I was saying in the very beginning, Jesus is always passing by. He's always near. Call unto him while he is near. In the opening scripture that we read out of the book of Isaiah, we have to call on him. We have to cry on. If you're not desperate in your situation, if we're passive in our circumstance, then God's not just going to jump in and get involved. We got to cry out to the Lord, and he will get in the middle of our situation and our circumstance. And if you need healing, like Sister Connie says that Lori needs healing in her body, if you need healing in your body tonight, this part is for you. I'm going to read out of Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 35. Luke chapter 18, and beginning at verse 35. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 18 and verse 35. As the Bible says, as Jesus approached Jericho, the blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked what was happening. They told him that Jesus the Nazarene was going by. So he began shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, the people in the front yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered that the man be brought to him. As the man came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, he said, I want to see. And Jesus said, all right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God, and all who saw it praised God. 2. This blind man, the Bible said, I think blind Bartimaeus, the Bible says that when when the blind man heard the commotion, he asked everybody that was around Jesus. Jesus was going from one way to another, one area to another. He was passing by. And the Bible said when the blind man heard that all the commotion, he said, "What's going on?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." As soon as he heard, see, and especially in religious circles, we have a tendency to go, "Well, God is sovereign, and if he wants me healed, he'll heal me." Hallelujah. He'll heal me. Well, God knows I'm sick. And the blind Bartimaeus could have said, "I've been sitting here this whole time. And if the Lord is coming by, the Lord knows. The Lord knows I need to be healed. The Lord knows that what I'm going through. And God's sovereign. If he wants me to be healed, I'll be healed." Or you could follow what we've been talking about all the way through this broadcast. Do you realize that the Bible said that Jesus, even to the religious of his day, even to the Israelites, he said there were a lot of people that had leprosy, but only one in the Old Testament, when they went to the prophet, was cleansed. He said there were a lot of people were in famine and hungry, but the man of God only went to the widow. Why? Because they were seeking after him. If you want the sun to stand still on your behalf, you gotta cry out to the Lord. See, there's a lot of us that, we could sit there and we could say, "Well, God knows," but you gotta get serious about this thing. Like Jenny, Jenny's saying healing. You know what she's doing right now? Just like in the middle of she knows that right now Jesus is passing by, that Jesus is moving. Jesus, our healer. Jesus, the one that could do anything. Jesus, the one that is our ever-present help. He's passing by. But in order to get the sun to stand still, we got to cry out to him. Blind Bartimaeus wasn't going to be blind one more day. Whatever you're going through, by faith, we got to call out to him like Jenny did. You got to call out to him, "Son of David," by his messianic name. Blind Bartimaeus was waiting for his moment. "All I have to know is that Jesus is passing by, and I'm going to call out. I'm not just going to let him pass by and hope that he notices me. I'm going to get in his way. I want to make sure that he sees me, that he hears me, that he knows that I'm serious and I don't want to deal with this thing one more day." And if you'll call out to him in faith today and get his attention and call out, "Son of David, have mercy on me," the sun will stand still and he will call you to stand in front of him and he will ask you what you need. Like Jenny did, or if where you are, if you would call out to Jesus right where you are, if you don't want to put it on, you don't want to type it in the comments, I understand. But if by faith, if you, like Jenny did, when you would type it in the comments or on behalf of somebody else that's standing in need of a healing for their body, like my grandmother, like we're gonna pray for my grandmother who needs healing in her body, even tonight. That we're gonna stand in the gap and pray and intercede for her. We're gonna cry out to the Lord. Jesus is passing by. Jesus the healer. Jesus Jehovah Rapha. Jesus the Savior. Jesus the Waymaker. Jesus the one that gets in the middle of our storms and our circumstances. And when we cry out to him, he's an ever-present help in the time of need. But we have to be to be honest with God, and we got to cry out to him, and we got to be serious to say, "God, I want you to get in the middle of what I'm going through, because I realize that I'm too short to see you. I can't see out of the middle of this storm." I don't know if you've, I know all of us can say this, that if you've ever been in the middle of a storm, sometimes it's hard to see God while you're in the storm. But like blind Bartimaeus, who couldn't see Jesus, her that he was passing by. Sometimes you might be in the middle of the storm and you might be watching this broadcast tonight and say, "God, I can't see you in the middle of this circumstance," or "I can't see you in the middle of this sickness or disease, but I can hear that you're passing by tonight." And if you will call on him, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me," the sun will stand still on your behalf tonight, and God, our healer, will come in and he will heal your body right now. in the name of Jesus Christ. He will save you right now. They that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He will get in your boat, and it won't pass you by if you'll invite him in, and the contrary winds will cease right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But one of the things, you know, again, that one of, you know, it blows your mind when to literally think about this, but Jesus called, he said, bring him to me as the son stood still. He said, bring that man to me. And as he stood in front of Jesus, I mean, obviously, I don't think that it was too hard. Amen. Healing for Lori. Hallelujah. Amen, Sister Mariana. God's moving now on your situation. Amen, Jenny. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right, Sister Hazel. We might not be able to see him, but we can feel his presence. And in his presence, that's what it means. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know God's, I feel his presence even now. The thing, you know, like I was saying, Jesus said, bring him to me. But look at, it's, you know, Jesus could have even, to me, when I read that story, it seems obvious that when that man was standing in front of Jesus, that he could tell that man was blind. Amen, Sister Connie. We're going to pray for you tonight before we get off the air. It should be obvious that, you know, it would obvious to Jesus that man was blind. But listen, Jesus still said, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus went to a lame man and said, you know, how, do you want to be made well? That seems crazy. That seems crazy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, Jenny. Hallelujah. Believe God's touching you right now. Every organ, everything that's in you that was trying not to work, by the healer, Jehovah Rapha, I speak healing, and let the healing hand of the Lord, you spoke your word, God, and healed him. Healing healed them. Healing is the children's bread. And Lord, we thank you that even through this broadcast, you're there just as you are here. And as you are passing by, we call out to Jehovah Rapha, and we thank you, Lord, for touching every person that needs healing in their body right now in the mighty name of Jesus. But that man had to say to Jesus, I want to see. And so you know, we have to tell God what it is. You know, we could be standing in front of God and we could go, well, God, I'm standing in front of you. I'm waiting for you to move. But God's asking you tonight, what do you need? What do you need? And we have to, you know, you have to let him know, God, I want to see. I want to see. I just want to, I feel like this. Amen. Amen, Brother Randy. God is with you right now. I just want to say this. We're in, you know, right now, because I feel like if you, you know, when I was talking about going through the storm and not being able to see, sometimes we need clarity. The Bible says the entrance of his word bringeth light, and it brings understanding to the simple. The more word we have, the more Jesus we have, the closer he is to us. He, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And the light came to where darkness was, and the darkness cannot extinguish it. When the light of God, Jesus, the light of the world, came in, darkness had to flee. And so the closer we are to Jesus, the more clear things become. And so that's why when Jesus passes by, yeah, we want to stay in his presence. We want to stay where God is. If you need direction in your life, if you're sitting in a place where you would say, you know what, I can't afford to lose any more time. I've tried this and I've tried that and I've done this and I've done that and I'm losing time, just like, hallelujah, just like Joshua in Joshua chapter 10 and verse 14, the Bible said that God gave the Amorites into the hand of the Israelites. But Joshua said, I'm running out of daylight. You may feel like you've lost time or you've gotten too old. And maybe if I would have just known this, if I would have just known this all these years ago. And you know, God's not up there. You know when the best time to get it? Right now. You know when the best time to be healed? Right now. You know when the best time to have faith? And you know when faith is? Faith is now, the Bible says. And even if we've got it late, because there's, I was just saying this today. If I would have just known that years ago, where would I have been? But you know what? God is so powerful that when we call out to Him even now, hallelujah, He's passing by continually, the rich woman said in the book of 2 Kings. And He's always with us. And all He's waiting for us to do is to call upon the name of the Lord. And when we call out to Him, He hears the righteous cry. And He will deliver us out of every situation and circumstance. And like I said at the beginning of the broadcast, He said, I promise you, hallelujah, that the years that the palmer worm, the canker worm, and the grasshopper stole from you, that thief that's come to steal and have stolen, and He came to kill and He came to destroy, Jesus will restore unto you. The Bible says when the thief is found, hallelujah, He'll have to restore seven times. And I'm calling that in for myself and for my family. I'm calling that in for you in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. I'm calling out that for you, that whatever the enemy has stolen from you. I'm calling on the Son to stand still on our behalf as He's passing by, and to restore unto us seven times this year everything that the enemy has stolen from us. Whatever the enemy has seemed to kill in our lives, we serve Jesus, who is the resurrection, hallelujah, and the life. And whatever was dead, He that is alive will call that thing by name. Lazarus, come forth. Hallelujah. Whatever it seems to be lost, He'll call it by name and bring that through the resurrection and the life power. He'll bring that thing back to life, into our life. And the one that came to destroy, God, amen, will bind the hand of the strong man on your behalf, and He will build you up, amen. The Bible says, unless He build the house, we labor in vain anyway. But when the Lord builds it, it'll stand forever. If we build our life, if you're not saved tonight, or you don't know Jesus Christ, or you've walked away from God, and you want to build your house, make sure you build it on the firm foundation, Jesus Christ. And if you build on Him, the winds can come, and the winds and blow, and the waves can beat up against it, but it shall stand, and we're all going to stand. And we're all going to remain. And though the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And everything that the enemy meant for evil, God's turning around for good to save much people alive. And God's going to show us all out in the year 2020 as a sign and a wonder. Isaiah 8:18, in the earth, us and our children. And so the sun is going to stand still on your behalf. If we will just cry out to Him, He will stop. The sun will stand still. Not just the S-U-N, but the S-O-N will, if you'll cry out to Him in the middle of what you're going through, He will stop and stand still and call you into Himself and ask you, just like He did to the blind man, what is it that you want me to do for you? And don't miss your opportunity. When you call Him and He comes, He said, you have not because you ask not. Let Him know. Be specific with God. Don't be a wandering generality. Don't pray in generalities. But the Bible says that everyone that knocks, the door is open. Everyone that seeks, finds. And everyone that asks, receives. And so be specific with God today. He loves you. He's always continually passing by. He's passing by right now. And if you'll call on Him, the sun will stand still. Jesus Christ will stand still on your behalf, and He will do a mighty miracle. He will move mightily in your life, and He will stop the attack of the enemy that's trying to come to stop you from doing what God has already given you a word to do. And you're going to be successful. 2020 is a mighty year for the body of Christ, and it starts now in the name of Jesus Christ. Sister Abby, God bless you. so glad that you're watching with us. And I just want to be an encouragement today. You're not by yourself. We're with you. If you'll let us know, and if there's any way that we can serve you, we sure want to do that. But you're not by yourself. And even if we can't get to you, God said, I'm a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, you know, that we read that psalm all the time. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. God said he'll be there with us through the end of the age. God, his name is faithful and true. And as he passes by, if you'll call on him, he will answer you and show you great and mighty things. And so I just love you tonight. And if there's any specific testimonies, I saw the ones that we had up there. I want to pray also for my grandmother. Or if you need salvation tonight, again, pray, you know, this prayer, cry out to the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't know you as my personal Savior. I realize I'm distant from you. Maybe you were walking with the Lord and you find yourself that you've walked away from a relationship with God and started going your own way. But the Lord is ever looking for you to return, and in his arms are always extended. He's not mad at you. He's not disappointed in you. All you have to do is make your mind up to return. And the Bible says, just like the story of the prodigal son, that the father got up every day looking for his son to return. And if we will, like that prodigal son, with our mind made up, come to ourselves and make up our mind that I will return and go back to my father, then the father is there wide open, ready to receive you. And if you will come in, God will restore you. He's faithful and just to forgive. He will restore you. And God will bless you in such a way that it'll be as if you have never left, because he's that good of a God. And so if you'll cry out to the Lord today and say, forgive me of my sins. I realize I have sin in my life. I need a Savior. If you'll run to that tree, oh, hallelujah, the Lord will lift you up. Hallelujah. And God, to where you can see God again, and God will see you. And God will come in and he will sup with you and eat with you. He'll come in and live in your heart, and you will know him to be your Lord and your Savior. And if you need a healing in your body, his name is Jehovah Rapha. He said, I am God, your healer. And so God is present to heal even now. And so I want to pray for, you know, those prayer requests. And my grandmother, who I got a text message from my mom that she just got a not so good doctor's report, and she has the flu on top of that. And so I'm going to pray for her as well, and your prayer request. And as we pray in this place, there's more than, you know, two in this room, and then there's more. All of us are watching together. And if all of us would just come into agreement right now and pray for all those needs, we may miss some, but you grab onto some, we're grabbing some, but God has not missed a thing. If you've made that declaration to the Lord, he's heard you, and he's turning in to answer your prayer, and he's going to move on your behalf. And or if you've wrote it in the comments, God sees it as well. And we're going to pray that God moves mightily. Father, I thank you that, first of all, that if there is anybody that is watching this broadcast and that is going through a hard time or a storm or something that the enemy is blowing contrary to their life, we thank you that as we have cried out to you, Lord, you're not going to just continue to pass by us, but because we have cried out to you, you're going to turn in our direction and then get in to where we are. And as you do, all the contrary winds and the storm is going to cease, and we're going to immediately be in the other side to where you've called us to be. And we thank you for that. And now, Father, thank you that for sending Jesus to die and to be whipped on that whipping post for our healing. By his stripes, the Bible says, we were healed. And Jesus took a stripe on his back for every sickness and every disease that we would ever face. And so we thank you now that healing is the children's bread. And we thank you, Lord, for your healing word. And we thank you for your healing hand that has already touched and is now touching all those, even those that are in the hospital, even now. For my cousin Lori, I thank you that you're reaching down and touching and healing her now in Jesus' mighty name, that you're touching and healing, that you have touched and are touching Jenny, that you're touching Sister Connie even now, strengthening her body, that you're touching all the several prayer requests for Lori again, for strengthening them and healing them right where they are. And for all those, God, that cried out, even where they're watching this broadcast, we thank you that you have heard them. And as you asked, what would you have me to do? They said, God, I want you to heal. We need healing in this area. And you are Jehovah Rapha. You are God, our healer. And we thank you that you are healing them even now. Hallelujah. That you're touching their body and quickening them. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. It quickens our mortal body. And we thank you for the complete healing and restoration in every area of their lives. In Jesus' name. You said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. We thank you for salvation today. We thank you for healing today. And we thank you for getting in the middle of our circumstances and situations. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory for it now. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Now we thank you. We don't just get up after we pray and then pick it right back up. We thank you now. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15 that we are confident in this, that if we ask you anything, that you hear us. And if you hear us, you will answer us. And we thank you, Lord, that you have heard our prayer and that you're not just a prayer hearing God, that you're a prayer answering God. You said we would call on you and you would answer us and show us great and mighty things that we don't even know yet. And so we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're moving, even that you've already heard and are already on your way. You're moving, have moved, and are moving in every area of our life in Jesus' name. I speak the shalom of God. Hallelujah. Nothing missing, nothing broken. And God, I thank you that even that our worst days were yesterday. And that from this day forward, we're moving forward in the mighty name of Jesus. The Bible says that the righteous shine brighter and brighter as the noonday. We're going to get better and better in Jesus' name. You're going higher and higher in Jesus' name. You're going from faith to faith in Jesus' name. Strength to strength in Jesus' name. Glory to glory in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus, the Son, has stood still for you today. And because you cried out to him and I cried out to him, the Lord has turned, given you a word. I am. And he's coming, and he's come to make, he's gone before us to make the crooked path straight. Behind us, he's our rear guard, our buckler, our exceeding great reward. And he's with us. Hallelujah. And where his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So we bless you on this double blessing Tuesday. We are so glad that you are with us. Amen, Sister Kathy. Thank you for God's healing in Kathy's body in Jesus' name. So we thank you for joining us. If you have any questions, and you type them in quickly before we get off the broadcast class about anything, not just what we're talking about tonight, but if you have any questions concerning what's going on in the world today, concerning what's going on, maybe you have a question about the Bible or whatever, if you type those in, we're in real time. I can see you as you type them in, and we'll answer you in real time. But if not, and as you may be typing now, we just want to thank you again. We don't take it for granted that you chose to use your time to join us tonight. And we're so honored that you would do that on this Double Blessing Tuesday. God's going to bless you for it. Anytime you make time, there's no wasted time in God. And when you make time for God, oh, God will make time for you. And God's going to do great and mighty things in your life this year. Good things and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Oh, you should. I look forward to this year. I'm going to tell you, in my spirit, I've never felt this way going into a year before. But I feel with everything that is within me, this is going to be the greatest year for the believer in Jesus Christ. That God's going to show out to the righteous today. To be a sign and wonder, to bring in this last day harvest. And so we get to be a part of that, and what an honor it is. And again, what an honor it is that you joined us tonight, and we love you so very much on your Limitless Life broadcast. And if there are no questions, we ask again that you would, if you haven't done so already, like and subscribe and share this broadcast, because even as we're watching, you may be watching live now, someone could be going through something, and as you share it, they could be crying out to the Lord, and God would move supernaturally, and they would click on this broadcast, and I will answer that question right now, Sister Mariana, and share this broadcast. And it could be a right now word for them, a rhema word that God would speak to them right where they are. So if you would do that, we would be so honored and appreciative that you did. Mariana said, Pastor, my mom wants to know if it's a sin to watch TV and go to the movies. I'll say this. There's not a lot of things to watch on TV and in the movies that are worth watching today because, you know, even I'm a, if you don't know, now you know. But I'm a huge Star Wars fan, and I went and watched the last Star Wars movie. And right at the end, you know, they snuck in a, a kiss between two women and whatever. And it's like they're trying to, in every area, they're trying to get in, even in the cartoons and everything that's going on, even with our children. One of the things that the enemy does, he loves, you know, the first time you see two men kissing, or the first time you see two men holding hands, or two women holding hands, or kissing, or doing all of that, it takes you back a little bit. But it's just like anything else. The more you watch it, the more we become desensitized to it. So I'll say this. I don't believe it's a sin to watch TV. And I don't believe it's a sin to go to the movies. But the Bible said, Paul says this. He says, everything is not a sin, but not all things are expedient unto us. That's where you rely on the Holy Spirit.